How was your Thanksgiving? Did you have a good Thanksgiving? Spend it with your family? Yes? Good? Good. It's always a good time to be with family for Thanksgiving. Be able to spend a few hours together in praise to the Lord. That's a good thing. It's always a good thing. So how about your Black Friday? Did you have a great Black Friday? Yeah? Went out and snagged a bunch of good deals, huh? Yeah, I went to Black Friday once. That was enough. That's all I needed because there's nothing else. There's nothing out there worth going through that. There's nothing out there worth it. If they gave it away free, it's not worth it. You know? Think about it. There was a lady in line at a Walmart in California because she wanted an Xbox. She wanted this thing so badly for this price. Note her scale of importance here, that she pulled out some pepper spray, sprayed a bunch of people so she could get an advantage in the line. You believe this? What are the priorities here? What are the priorities? Now, to me, one of the best parts of this story is that this happened not on Black Friday. This happened on Thanksgiving at 10:20 in the evening because it started on Thanksgiving. And Walmart didn't call it Thanksgiving because they knew people would be upset if they said Thanksgiving in their ads, so they said Thursday evening. You know? What's important here? It's pretty easy to tell, isn't it? That stuff is more important than people. And especially what Thanksgiving is supposed to be all about, and that is thankfulness to God, exactly. It's supposed to be not just about stuffing yourself and turning it into a season of gluttony, but it's supposed to be about thanking God, isn't it? Isn't that what it's supposed to be about? And it's clearly being lost more and more. The holidays, as they are, have become much, much less about what they're supposed to be, you know? And much, much more about buy, buy, buy. Me, me, me. What can I get? Right? You see, this goes against the heart of what this is all about. Because as we get into all of this commercialism, all of this me-ism, it becomes selfish. Straight up, isn't it? And that's the problem with what has become of our holidays. We have these times that we're supposed to be honoring God, Thanksgiving and Christmas, and for Christmas it's basically gone, isn't it? Thanksgiving, at least until this year, had at least a little shred of it. This year, Black Friday just totally overtook Thanksgiving entirely, almost. And we're losing sight of the fact that this is supposed to be about God. We have holidays, we enjoy the holidays, but we forget what they're about. And therein lies the issue. That's the problem. So it's time to refocus. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 58. It's time to refocus. Isaiah 58, beginning with verse 1. Reading a little bit of background to our scripture today, Isaiah chapter 58, beginning with verse 1, cry aloud, spare not, lift up your voice like a trumpet, let my people, or tell my people their transgression, and the house of Jacob their sins, yet they seek me daily. I'm sure there's a lot of people who say, oh yeah, Thanksgiving, let's see, that was, the right to thank God. Christmas, yeah, there was something about Jesus that day, I remember. Yeah. They seek me, they come on these holidays, they do these things, and this was what the Jews were doing too. They had things that they observed, but they'd lost the foundation. They lost what the meaning was. They lost what it was about. They didn't get it. And Jesus is here telling them, they seek me daily. They delight to know my ways. Oh yeah, we want to learn the scriptures, but they've lost the foundation. What's it about? What's it all pointing to? Why do we do these things? What's the point? Is it more about lights or is it more about the Lord? Is it more about gifts or is it more about God? As a nation that did righteousness and did not forsake the ordinance of their God, they ask of me the ordinances of justice. They take delight in approaching God. Oh, we're so excited. Only, I don't know, how many more days is it till Christmas? Let's see, Sabbath school, there were 27 days? Is that what it is? 26, 20, 28 days? Something like that to Christmas? Is that what it was? Oh, see, I can't even calculate it. And so here it is. They delight to come into these things, but they've lost what it's really all about. What is it about? What is Christmas all about? What is Thanksgiving all about? What are these things for? Verse 3. Why have we fasted, they say, and you have not seen? Why have we afflicted our souls, and you take no notice? Here we are, God, we're doing Thanksgiving, we're doing Christmas. What's the problem here? How come we're not getting closer to getting into heaven? What's our problem here? Why are we doing all of this and nothing's happening? Wonder. In fact, verse 3, the last part, in the day of your fast, you find pleasure and exploit all your laborers. In other words, they had turned this day that was supposed to be about self-denial, a day of fast, and they turned it into a day of selfishness. They exploited their workers to get more out of them. Can you believe this? They had turned it totally around. Instead of a day about God and focus on Him, they'd turned it into a day of self. Anything like that happening today? Verse 5. Is it a fast that I have chosen, a day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head like a bulrush and to spread out sackcloth and ashes? Would you call this a fast and an acceptable day to the Lord? Is it all about what you do to make yourself humble? You know, is that what it's all about? Is that what worship's all about? Is it about coming to church on Sabbath, looking good, looking fine, coming in? Is that what it's all about? Is it all about, you know, I'm holier than you are when we get to church? Is that what it's all about? What is this all about anyway? Why are we here? Why do we do these things? What's the point? What's the foundation? What underlies it? Isn't it time for us to refocus on what it's really all about? To look back and see, what does God really value? What makes it important? In fact, we might ask ourselves, what makes a true fast? What makes a true Christmas? What makes a true Thanksgiving? What is this all about? Why are we here? What makes a true Christian? Verse 6. Is this not the fast that I have chosen, God says, to loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke? Isn't it all about worshiping God and helping others? God puts it clearly in perspective here, clearly in focus. He says it's about helping others, doing good for people. Verse 7, is it not to share your bread with the hungry? How many of us found, don't raise your hand. How many of us yesterday, day before, I guess it is, how many of us day before yesterday went down on the street corners here, found somebody who was just standing around with one of those signs, you know? Hungry, God bless you. You know the one I'm talking about, right? Yep. And you picked that guy up and said, come to my house. We got Thanksgiving going on here. Yeah, I'm not raising my hand either, am I? Let's be honest. Let's be real. None of us are raising our hands. At least I'm not. But that's what God says. Is it not, verse 7, is it not to share your bread with the hungry? And that you bring to your house the poor who are cast out. Whew, that sounds kind of scary, don't you think? That's kind of scary. You never know today. I mean, you know, scary things happen, right? That'd be all you'd need is to have that on the newspaper and the radio and television and stuff. Yeah, this guy brought him home for Thanksgiving and got robbed, beat up, left in his own house to die. And, you know, this guy that he picked up took all his stuff. It's just not the same world anymore, right? But then I wonder, when was that safe? When was that safe? Was that safe to do 10 years ago? Probably not. Do you think it was safe to do 2,000 years ago? Do you think it was safe to do back in 683 BC? Do you think people didn't rob people in 683 BC? When God said this, was it safe back then? Because nobody robbed anybody then, right? It wasn't safe then either, was it? Whew. Middle of verse 7. When you see the naked, that you cover him and not hide yourself from your own flesh. What does that mean? It means everybody is related to everyone else. You saw the article, 6 degrees of freedom is no longer 6 degrees of freedom, you know. Facebook and such has reduced that to 4.73. 4.73 degrees of freedom now, or of separation. Yeah, yeah. Our world is shrinking. Yeah. You see, everyone is connected to us. Our own flesh is everyone who's alive. Well, sure, I'm sure it was different when Jesus was here, right? Wasn't it different when Jesus was here? Turn with me. Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25. Are you with me? Matthew chapter 25. Let's refocus. Matthew chapter 25. Verse 31. Are you with me? Matthew 25, 31. I'm not hearing anything. Is everybody out there? You there? Okay, thank you. Matthew 25, verse 31. When the Son of Man comes in His glory and all the holy angels with Him, then He will sit on the throne of His glory. By the way, this is connected to what chapter came before this? Matthew chapter 24, right? And Matthew 24 is about what? End time events. So He knew clearly who He was talking to here, right? He knew He was talking to people at the end, right? And He's going on with this. He's telling about what will happen when He comes back, right? Verse 32, all the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate them one from another as a shepherd separates or divides his sheep from the goats. And He will set the sheep on His right hand, but the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on His right hand, come, you blessed of My Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Why? Verse 35. Verse 35, for I was hungry, hungry, hungry. I was hungry. I was hungry. Do you know how often people die in our world from hunger right now as we speak? Do you know how many people are dying, the rate at which people are dying from hunger right this minute? Any clue? How many people are dying in our world right now because of hunger? Didn't Isaiah talk about bring the hungry into your house, right? And here's Jesus saying the same thing years and years, centuries later. How many people are dying right now because of hunger? One person dies of hunger every 3 days? No. Hours? No. Minutes? No. Every 3 seconds. Every 3 seconds, someone in our world dies because of hunger. In other words, I know it seems like an eternity since I stood up here to speak, but for some people it is eternity. A whole lot of people. A whole lot of people. If one every 3 seconds is dying, come on, I know I can depend on you because my math obviously wasn't too good. I can't even calculate how many days till Christmas. Every 3 seconds, how many per minute? 20 per... Man, see, he's on the ball. 20 per minute. So in the last 2 minutes while I've been speaking about this, that's what, 40 people who have died? Because of hunger. What is Christmas all about? Is it really all about all that stuff that I gotta save $49.95 on because it's on sale on Black Friday? Is that what it's about? And while I'm waiting in that line for 5 hours, how many people died of hunger? Because they just didn't even have a little bit of rice, a little bit of bread. And I'm out there worried about beating somebody in line. What is pure religion anyway? What is pure religion? Doesn't James tell us what pure religion is? Right? Doesn't James tell us that? James chapter 1, I think, maybe verse 27. What is pure religion? Being really holy and keeping all the commandments, right? Am I saying those are bad things? No. Am I saying that coming to church on Sabbath is bad? No. If you want to go there, you're trying to misunderstand, because that's not what I'm saying. I'm trying to help us understand what's important to God as we deal with one another. James chapter 1 verse 27, pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this. Pretty clear, isn't it? Now we're going to find out exactly what it is. To visit the orphans and the widows. Huh? Wait. I thought it was like, you know, have no other gods before me. That's important, isn't it? Isn't it? Absolutely. I thought it was not having graven images and bowing down to them. Oh, that is important, isn't it? It's one of the little bits of scripture that we have that was written with God's own finger. That's how important that was. But James is telling us here that something else is important too. That pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit the orphans and the widows in their trouble. To be troubled because someone else is troubled. To be there in their need. To be there when they have nothing else to depend on but your generosity. That's pure and undefiled religion. You being there in people's trouble. And to keep oneself unspotted from the world. Put aside that stuff. Put aside that grasping for gain, the constant treadmill, the ugliness of I'm going to beat somebody else so I can get to the top. That's what he's talking about. Visit someone in their trouble. Be there for them. That's what he's saying is pure. Pure and undefiled religion. It's time to refocus, isn't it, on what's real? What's real religion? I wonder if this Thanksgiving somebody gave you a gift, you know, Christmas time and all that. Somebody gives you a gift, you're going to go, psh, this is junk. You're not going to say that, are you? No, you're going to be thankful that they gave you something. Do you imagine that God would be less thankful if we gave something to him? Do you suppose God would be less thankful? Do you think God would be less appreciative or less recognizing than your friends? Do you think that he would blow you off, be unpleased with you? Of course not. Perhaps you remember last week I asked you to consider a Thanksgiving gift to God, remember? To say thanks to God in your offerings, right? That's a way to let him know for sure that it's more than just lip service, as we mentioned last week. And so we need to refocus, but maybe we also need to refinance as well. To think about our finances and where they're going, what they're all about, and where we're spending them. And really show our thanks to God with our pocketbooks as well as with our lips. Sometimes at Christmas we're trying to think, now let's see. Last year I got Mom a blender. The year before that, a mixer. The year before that, man, it was awesome. We got a really nice food processor that year. And we're trying to think, now, what can I get her this year? Just afraid of that dress, you know, that dress is, you know, might be a little too bold or not the right color. Maybe it's just the style. Oh, what can I get, Mom? And we spend all this time thinking about what we can get one another, and that's not a bad thing, but we give no thought almost at all to the one whose birthday, theoretically, we're celebrating. Why is that? Why is it we give God no thought at all during that process? I don't remember too many people sitting there thinking back, well, let's see, last year I gave God this, and the year before that I gave God that, and right? What about that Good Samaritan guy? Remember that? Remember that Good Samaritan guy went down there? Other people passed by, right? He stopped and helped. Do you remember what else he did? When he got to the inn, he pulled out his wallet, didn't he? And he helped somebody else like that. You know, we have stuff like that going on around here all the time. Last year, we did wells in Cameroon, right? Do you remember what we had thought about there? We had mentioned that, you know, $12, people giving $12 would help build this well in Cameroon, right? So we had a goal of 100 people giving 12 bucks each, remember? Do you remember that? Yeah? Wells for Cameroon. Did you know how much this church gave last year for the wells for Cameroon? Do you know how much that was? This church last year did not give $1,200 for Cameroon. We gave almost $1,400. Yeah, amen. Absolutely. Amen. People giving, because you know what? That 12 bucks or whatever it was that you gave, I have a guarantee for you. In this world, you will never see that money again. You just gave it away without thinking of getting anything back. And that right there is the spirit that we're looking for. That's what we're looking for right now. This year, I want to look a little closer to home. There are other things going on right here that you can do with as well. Kim? There are things going on right here. Oh, wait, Kim, wait. People need to hear you. Let me hook you up here. There we go.
Our women's ministries team is doing baskets for displaced women for the Lighthouse Ministries and Second Chance Ministries. We have a box out here for just like bath soap, shampoo, razors, any kind of thing like that, toothpaste.
Did you need any Blu-ray players?
No.
No Xboxes.
Right now we're trying to fill 24 baskets. Last year we did about 30.
Amen.
So, and that was over what we were supposed to do last year. So hopefully we'll be able to do more this year. I know that I've been doing this couponing thing and getting stuff for free. So I'm doing that as part of mine. But I think it's going to be at Carol Glass's house this year on December 15th. We're going to put them together. You can bring them there. I think next week is the last week. I think they're going to do it. I think, no, 2 weeks. I'm sorry, 2 weeks. December 8th, I believe, is the last Saturday it'll be available. But you can always come. We have potluck at Miss Carol's house, and we just have lots of fellowship, putting the baskets together, making sure we have enough for everybody.
So, Kim, if they want to help out, can somebody buy some... Let me be honest here. Can we go to Dollar Tree and pick up...
Absolutely.
Dollar Tree's okay?
Oh, yeah, anything is okay.
And we can bring it here, put it in the box in the back. So we're actually asking, thank you, we're actually asking people to make an investment in others, to help out by taking a little time and trouble, going down to the store. Could be at Walmart, too, if you want to brave Walmart. And you can buy just some little things, just basic stuff, and help people right here in Lakeland. helping out. Helping out. Will you get repaid for this? No. I'll be honest with you. No. You will not get repaid for this on this earth. Okay? Not going to happen for you. But you can help people. You can make a difference in somebody's life. And that's what it's all about. Women's ministry, helping out. That's what we're talking about. And giving money, putting out a little money like that is part of the equation. But there's another part, you know. I want you to think back to Matthew 25 there for a second, because we talked about those people who did those things, right? Now, the goats, remember they separated the sheep from the goats, right? The goats were over on the other side because they were all murderers, right? Huh? They all committed murder, right? No? Oh, well, maybe they lied a bunch, right? They were a bunch of liars, right? No? Sabbath breakers? Huh? Is that what it was? What was it? It's not because of the terrible, awful, nasty, horrible, against God things they did. It was because they didn't do anything. What about here? What can we do here? What can we do right here in Lakeland? What about community service? Can you talk to us about community service? I'm going to come around here. Tell us, stand up. Tell us about community service.
Community service is about giving out our money to people who are in need. At times, people come to our door asking for money. If you have money, you have to give them some money to help them out. Some people need food to eat. If you can give your money to them, it will help a lot. That's what we're doing here. People come here, they come, and they will tell you that they don't even have a gas in their car. So what we do is like, give them like $20 to buy gas so that they can go wherever they want to go. That's why we are doing here. So if you have money, you have to help us to help do God's work. Thank you.
Amen. And you know, it doesn't have to be just money. There's things that we're doing in community service, like our food pantry. You know, we're helping over 50 families every week with food pantry, making a difference in lives every week. They come through our multipurpose building in the hallway there, and they see our material on the wall there, our books, our papers, and they take some of those, they look at them. They are learning about the Lord, and we have an opportunity to help out. But you know what? Food is heavy. Did you know food is heavy? Did you know that these people go there every Tuesday morning, right? Tuesday morning, and they pick up, like, what? A ton of food, literally? And here's the deal. You take the ton of food and you move it to the dock, then you take the ton of food and you move it from the dock to the car, then you take the ton of food and you move it from the car to the building, you take it from the floor and put it on the shelves, you've moved that ton of food like five times, you know? It's like moving five tons of food. And they could use people to help out with that. A little of your time. You see, there's more to this than just throwing money at problems. It's a good thing. We need that. But we also need you. Your time, your help, your effort to make things happen, to do things for people, not just because you can spare it, but sometimes even because it takes away from you personally. You see, when Jesus came to this world, I don't think it was a vacation, do you? Whew, get to get out of heaven for a little while. Right? He was not here for a vacation. He was here as a self-sacrifice. The time he spent here was not convenient. He was here to bless others, and for no other reason. How about prison ministries? Tell me about prison ministries. What are we doing there? How are people blessing others there?
Well, prison ministries is a blessing to us that go out there. Every time we leave, we have been totally blessed. I think the gift of time, I think, is a big gift. When we give the gift of time, people appreciate it.
Amen.
And I know that just being part of the team, it's been a real, real blessing to me. Actually, I have been spiritually blessed. It has helped my spiritual life to be a part of this ministry. I know the men out there are happy to see us when we come out. It's a highlight for their week.
Fred, is it convenient for you to go out there all the time?
Not always.
Wouldn't it be so much more convenient if they just come to you?
Yeah, they would like that, I'm sure. But I know that the time, you know, I go out there just on the evenings, but I just want to relay to you that the gift of time that Brother Wilson gives, going out there during the week, mm-hmm. and being a volunteer chaplain is a very big part. Also, the anger resolution class that he gives, mm-hmm. so, and the Bible study he does on Sunday, it's on and on. But anyway, the gift of time, and these men are blessed, and of course we receive blessings in return, and it's just a wonderful ministry. And when the Lord lays a passion and a burden on your heart, as he has Elder Wilson, there's no stopping him. Mm-hmm. And so when you have a passion or a burden on your heart, the Lord is going to use you, and he's going to fill you with joy.
Amen. Amen. And so we have opportunities to help in so many ways. Ways that you can give financially. Do you know in our church there's a you can put a line item on your tithe envelope called Helping Hands. Did you know that? And that Helping Hands goes to benefit people within our congregation. Did you know that? Yeah, that's what it's all about. When we have our communion and the deacons are up there and they have the plate there at the close of our communion service, that money goes into Helping Hands. But you can give to it anytime. You can help people right here in our congregation anytime by just writing Helping Hands on your tithe envelope. And I wonder, Darren, could the youth use anybody's time at all to come and help you? Could people come and help?
Yes, for young people, a big obstacle to ministry is transportation.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So the involvement of adults, parents, is very important.
Yeah, yeah. So we can help in so many ways, inside and outside. Do you know there's people who do garage sales here? Why? So that they can give the money back to the church. So that's on both ends there. They have a garage sale. They go to all the trouble to make this garage sale happen, and then they give the money back. Yeah. Right here. You can help out with that. You've seen some of the people around here that are involved in helping out in these things. Praise God, we have a busy church, huh? People who are living out Isaiah 58. That's what it's all about. That's what Christmas is about. That's what Thanksgiving's about. That's what pure and undefiled religion is about. To do these things for other people. This week, I'm inviting you to do the same. In fact, this whole Christmas season, I want you to think about it. I want you to think about how you can give back. How can you make a difference in people's lives? How can you live out the true Christmas fast? How can you live out Isaiah 58? There are ways to help with money. There's ways to help with your time. There's ways to be good Samaritans. Isaiah 58, 8 through 12. God has promises for us. Then your light shall break forth like the morning. Your healing shall spring forth speedily. You're suffering ill health? Help somebody else. That's what it's saying, isn't it? God has promised that as we help others, He will, not maybe, He will bless you. He will. Your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. Then you shall call. Have you ever called on the Lord and felt like you didn't get an answer? Here's the promise. If we keep the fast that God wants, if we do the love to others that He is asking us to do, then you shall call and the Lord will answer. Okay, I'll try it again. Maybe you didn't know it was coming. All right, here we go. It's coming this time. Are you ready? We will call and the Lord will answer. Amen. Thank you. Exactly. Because it's a sure thing. You can say amen to that. Because amen means so be it. And you can count on the Lord's word, can't you? Absolutely. God will answer. In Matthew 25, 34, those sheep, He will set the sheep on His right hand. He will put blessings on us. Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. Studying in our Sabbath school lessons. Galatians 6, 9. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Hebrews 13, 2. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers. Why? Why should we take people into our house? There may be a blessing right here and now. For in so doing, some have entertained angels unawares. Proverbs 11:25, the liberal soul shall be made fat. Maybe not a bad idea. And he that watereth shall be watered also himself. Do you expect success? Do you expect God to keep His word? Do you expect that as you step out to bless others, God will bless you? Do you expect that, knowing that God is there? Brothers and sisters, God will not fail you. Step out in faith. You don't have enough time? Good, go spend more on somebody else. You don't have enough money? Good. Go spend some of it on somebody else. And I'm not talking about all just right here. I'm talking about, think about those guys with those signs down there. Think about it. The next time you're at Mickey D's or someplace, pick up some gift certificates and hand them out. You're worried about them spending money that you might hand them out the window of your car on hoots? Fine. Give them a gift certificate for some place where they can only get food. Okay. Help people. Bless others. Be like Jesus.